Welcome to Forecast News with Millie and Ashen, where we talk you through some global events coming up in the week that we think you should know about. If you're new here, please subscribe and do give your comments, as always, on the events we discuss. We better get straight into it. Monday, the 23rd of September, 2024, already almost getting towards the end of the year. But today is the second day of the big UN event, the UN Summit of the Future, where I think 140 world leaders are there in New York. It's part of this UN General Assembly high-level week. We did mention it at the very end of last week's episode. And this is off the back of that UN General Assembly resolution last week, Afshin, if you remember, that was adopted, which was demanding Israel ends its occupation of Palestine within 12 months, which Israel, of course, is disgusted by, and it's taking no notice as usual.
And the US is disgusted by.
Yeah. I think there were 14 countries which abstained, although obviously it was voted in favor, all disgusted. But today, the G7 foreign ministers are going to meet at the UN. They're going to be meeting with the Ukrainian foreign minister, who's obviously been calling for NATO leaders to allow strikes into Russia. And then we've got many speakers. We've got Zelensky, India's Modi, Georgia Maloney, Pakistan's Shahbaz Sharif, Antony Blinken, loads of people speaking today. Obviously, Putin and Xi Jinping are no-shows.
That's the UN General Assembly, right?
This is the UN General Assembly. It's all part of this big summit. They're all there. I think Netanyahu and Palestine's Mahmoud Abbas, I think they actually may be attending later in the week, which may be a surprise.
Not sure about Abbas. Is he in New York?
I think they're at least going to be speaking at the event. Whether they're going to be personally there, I don't know. But you wouldn't really want to be in a room with all these people, would you? I mean, how awkward is it in this big room with all these different leaders? I bet you could cut the tension with a knife, couldn't you?
I've been to one of these General Assemblies, and they are, if you want to know about the UN, I think Hitchcock's North by Northwest, about an assassination in the UN.
Right.
Very good. You know, all of this takes place in the shadow of this pager bomb thing in Lebanon and the Israeli massive killing or wounding of thousands of, it's the 9/11 of the Middle East. This the echoes of that pager bomb are still reverberating.
Yeah, it was a lot of communication devices, walkie-talkies and such, thousands injured. I think more we're going to hear are killed. Israel's denied it, though, hasn't it? I mean, it's pretty clear to many that it was Israel, but why has Israel been denying this?
Yeah, because they're liars, clearly. And all this escalation. I noticed Israeli officials quoted on something called Axios said they're increasing attacks against Hezbollah, meaning Lebanon, because the Lebanese government have been voicing their support for Lebanese resistance groups like Nasrallah, are not intended to lead to war, but are an attempt to reach, quote, de-escalation through escalation. I mean, in this region,
in other words,
we got the UAE paper. What to say there? It's making headlines all across this region. What the Biden-Harris genocide, Joe Holocaust-Harris proxy Israel is doing in this region. And even the New York Times saying pager bombs don't belong in a just war.
I mean, speaking of this, though, when you mentioned the UAE newspaper, over in the White House, the big news, the big visit is the UAE president, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, is visiting Joe Biden, which I think is the first time a UAE president has ever visited a president in Washington. So I'm sure that's going to be very much on the agenda. I think the UAE president is also going to be meeting Kamala Harris, given she's still vice president. On the agenda is also going to be Gaza, I think, as well as Sudan is going to be something they're talking a lot about. And obviously the UAE, as we know, has got increasingly frustrated with the war in the Middle East, with Gaza and now with Lebanon and how that's being handled. So whether he's going to have a firm word with Biden about this and the US is part in that.
When they were rotating chairs at the UN Security Council, it was clear the frustration of the UAE, wasn't it? And, of course, MBZ, very close to MBS, their brotherly state, Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And Saudi Arabia is repeatedly saying no to normalization with Israel, no to increased oil output. So, you know, MBZ is not going to be sitting there saying to the Americans, great, continue your war, your proxy war in the Middle East, as the war seems to spiral against Russia and China, increasingly being named as the pro-Palestine competitors, as Britain, France, and the United States continue to back Israel and the genocide to the hilt.
Yeah, and I suppose it's, if nothing else, it's very positive that the US sees the UAE as a big enough player that it's inviting it to the White House. We know the UAE has been a mediator in Russia and Ukraine with Israel and Gaza. So it's seen as important on the world stage enough that the US is inviting it to discuss these things.
Just... So many are moving here, aren't they, from all these declining economies in the old world.
Exactly. So it's certainly a good thing for the UAE, I think. But also on Monday, Biden's nemesis, Trump, is not going to be meeting with India's Narendra Modi on Monday. It was said all of last week Trump and Modi were going to be meeting. I think Trump made this announcement at a campaign rally. But the Indian government has said that's not true and Modi's not going to be meeting Trump, although he is going to be meeting, I think, with Biden at the UN General Assembly later on in the week at some point. So I don't actually know if that's going to be happening. However, obviously on Monday, Trump might be paying attention to this hearing in the US involving his would-be assassinator, Ryan Ruth, which happened a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, we mentioned it, this 58-year-old American caught by the Secret Service, who apparently some CIA agents, some have said he was certainly apparently in Ukraine's Foreign Legion working as a recruiter, although Ukraine has said he wasn't working in the army. He didn't have a role. Obviously, they'd want to say that, given Russia wouldn't be too happy about it. But what do you know about this Ryan Ruth and this?
I mean, it's clear that the Biden-Harris administration, deep within it, they want to wipe out Donald Trump. Neck and neck, the polls are, despite propaganda, totalitarian media system in the United States, which is geared against Trump. So they're going to try and kill him. And as the polls show that he gets closer and closer to victory, they will do anything. They've obviously used character assassination. Now they seem to be using actual assassination. Very clever, really, how the United States has managed to, their media organs of state have managed to paint it as if it's nothing to do with Ukraine, the second assassination attempt. We thought there was a third assassination attempt, obviously, in the past few days, I think when he was in New York. But yeah, they're going to try and kill him as they've done before. I think three presidents have been assassinated in American history. It's not a safe thing to do. Trump himself was on Murdoch's Fox News saying, 6% of presidents are assassinated. It's really not safe at all. But clearly, it's because of Ukraine that the deep state want him wiped out. But, you know, that's the way the United States works now. It's not a democracy because it has no free media, and it assassinates those it doesn't want to be in power. Some, of course, including Trump and many of his advisors say that he actually won the election and not Biden last time around. Joe Biden, he's not really in charge. He had his first cabinet meeting in the past few days. What is he going to be saying at the General Assembly this week, given that his wife, Jill Biden, took over the cabinet meeting, the first in a year? The United States is being run by a secretive cabal that the American public can't see. It has to be because Biden is mentally ill.
Yeah, obviously they'd say that's not the case and that they definitely don't want Trump dead, and hence why they've got the Secret Service trying to protect him. But we
better... Although the Secret Service, is the new one going to resign as well after the second attack?
Yes, it's
true. We don't know. The previous one resigned.
Yeah.
Trump has been thanking them, though, all the way.
That's right. We better jump to Tuesday, though, before we go into the Tuesday
24th. National Day Saudi Arabia Monday, by the way, which we forgot. Subscribe.
We'll come to Saudi Arabia a little bit later. Anyway, Tuesday, quickly going back to the UN General Assembly, which is going to be a big part of this entire week. Joe Biden and Antonio Guterres are going to be speaking. I think Biden is hosting a specific global coalition summit at the UN General Assembly on synthetic drug threats. I think on the US State Department, it says illicitly manufactured synthetic drugs such as fentanyl, tramadol, methamphetamine, Captagon, MDMA, and ketamine threaten the health, security, and well-being of people around the world. I mean, we know the US drug trade in the United States is worth billions of dollars, so I'm not promoting it, but this is in the background.
Sounds like your pharmacy order there.
It does. But this is there's also a debate between Brazil's Lula da Silva and Biden, da Silva and Spain's Pedro Sanchez, also co-hosting an event called In Defense of Democracy, Fighting Extremism.
Lula with Sanchez?
Yeah, they're co-hosting.
Sanchez, who just took in the CIA-backed terrorist who tried to overthrow the Venezuelan election.
If that's how it was.
What's Lula hanging out with Pedro Sanchez of Spain for?
Yeah, and this is the question. Are they going to be on the same side of this debate? I think it's going to be in defense of democracy, fighting extremism. Certainly an interesting partnership. But I do think these speeches may well be overshadowed on Tuesday by the Lebanese foreign minister, Abdallah Bouhabib, who's due to speak at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. As you mentioned, war de facto has been broken out, although they say it's not war between Israel and Lebanon. We know Israel's Yoav Gallant had said a new phase of war has begun. I think deputy leader of Hezbollah has said a new phase of the war has begun. But I think the last thing the Lebanese foreign minister said, which was last week, he said Israel, through this terrorist aggression, has violated the basic principles of international humanitarian law. But it's not looking good, is it? But I think people are really going to be looking to this, what the Lebanese foreign minister has to say on Tuesday, don't you think?
Even Leonard Panetta said it was a terrorist act, let alone Lebanese. Nothing is happening, though. And instead, we get ridiculous headlines like this one. You see this? U.S. cautions against full-blown war. It is full-blown war now. And it's interesting to see how countries like the UAE and Saudi Arabia are going to be react now that the war is in full swing. Of course, for the people of Gaza, it's been in full swing for months as we approach October, which is the anniversary of only the latest skirmish in a war that started in 1948 with the British. So I think, it says Hezbollah have to change their tactics, because so far it's clear that the deterrence is gone. Lebanon has no deterrent. The Israelis, backed to the hilt by Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, BAE Systems, billions of dollars of aid from the United States, support from Britain, the European Union. You know, there are definitely going to be some people on the side of the resistance forces who say, why are we attacking Israel? Let's attack the source of the Israeli proxy. Attack Britain, the European Union, and the United States. It's a horrifying prospect because of what Israel did with the pager walkie-talkie bombs. If one of them had gone, one of those Lebanese pagers had gone off in an aeroplane, that plane could have been heading to Europe. That's the kind of new world that we live in. And, this is Forecast News. Subscribe. But we don't know. Any of these days could be a day of asymmetric warfare against the sources of the funding of the Netanyahu genocidal regime now.
Yeah, and this is also perhaps a reason why Israel is denied having anything to do with the blowing up of these communication devices, because it knows it's probably not going to have a great reaction from the US, and it's going to
further... Well, no, I think we've got to realize this is a US operation. You know, the famous journalist Alexander Coben famously said, never believe anything until it's officially denied. We know from the Israeli denial that it was the Israelis. But the Israelis work hand in glove with the United States. We know from Edward Snowden that there is mass surveillance. The Americans would have known it. We know the Reaper drone was there just ahead of it. So in 50 years' time, we will hear the US involvement, arguably, in this terror atrocity. Stop blaming Israel. Yeah. This is the Biden-Harris administration engaged in terrorism, as it has against Venezuela, as it is in Sudan, as it is in Mali, in West Africa, as it is all over the world. I noticed they're preparing for anti-China stuff here. The Sulzberger family's newspaper, the New York Times, talking about how all Chinese people in the diaspora in the United States are under suspicion because they are going to influence the elections. They banned RT, of course, television, Russia Today. The Al Jazeera headquarters was stormed in the past few days. They're really cracking down on media as part of this arguable terrorist campaign now by the Biden-Harris administration.
Yeah, okay. Well, we better jump to Wednesday. Wednesday.
I should just say Tuesday is F. Scott Fitzgerald's birthday.
Okay, thank you.
Best describer of all this.
Subscribe. Okay, Wednesday then. Now, again, G20 foreign ministers are actually in New York on Wednesday. I think this is the first time they've kind of been part of the UN General Assembly. Lula da Silva, again, is speaking here. That's because Brazil currently holds the presidency of the G20. Again, many speakers, including Zelensky, Macron, Luis Arce of Bolivia, etc. Significantly, the Ecuadorian president, 36-year-old Daniel Noboa, is speaking.
Yeah, he's stooge.
Foreign relations.
He's stooge, of course.
Okay, there you go. As is Yemen's president, Rashad al-Alimi. And there'll be a ministerial meeting on the humanitarian situation in Sudan, which we've only lightly touched upon here. I think Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the US, the African Union, the EU and the UN are convening on the topic of Sudan. Do you know what's really going on here and the involvement of these countries and entities who are speaking on it? We know that more than 2 million people have been displaced there. 26 million are starving. That's half of the Sudanese population. Perhaps 150,000 have been killed. And this is obviously the civil war between the government's army, the Sudanese armed forces, which is backed by the United States, and the rapid support forces, which was a paramilitary in the old government. I think Saudi has been trying to broker peace here along with the UAE. But what's going on here? I know Biden...
Yeah, all those figures, I just wouldn't believe any. I wouldn't believe any of the figures about the starving and the scale of the catastrophe in Sudan. It was started, of course, by George Clooney, arguably, when they split off the rich South Sudan. They lied about a Darfur genocide, which was more lies. The United States just needs to get out of Sudan. Luckily, during the Biden-Harris administration, because they've been trying to forge World War III through their proxy, the dictatorship of Zelensky in Ukraine, they've taken their eye off the ball in Africa, leading to liberation in the Sahel. But Sudan is still crucial to United States and NATO nation ambitions in destroying Africa. They want the minerals, they want the resources. Let's hope Arab countries like Saudi Arabia and the UAE and Russia is very much in Sudan and China is very much can push out these American-backed proxy forces. I think gradually even the US and British and EU-backed mercenaries in Sudan are realizing they're not actually good even for them. They'll put the money in the Swiss bank account, Switzerland, of course, a key area for the corruption that is used to pay the belligerents in the Sudan military conflict. So what's important now is some kind of victory involving BRICS and Shanghai Cooperation Organization elements against the United States proxy forces and the British proxy forces, crucial in Sudan. You can see how important it is because, again, the newspapers in Darfur, new rape, slaughter, and famine. You can always tell they're losing the United States when they make these fake stories of rape. The reporters are in full swing talking about sexual violence and all the rest of it. You know, we know what the United States and Britain and the European Union do. They sponsor the rape of Palestinians in Palestine.
Okay.
That's what the story is in the developing world.
Okay. Well, Thanks for that explanation. George Clooney would deny starting war in Sudan.
I think George Clooney was key.
He would deny it.
I wonder what his wife says, a humanitarian. Was he a human rights barrister? Yeah. Who says, is she Lebanese? She says nothing about the war because, of course, they're both captured by the deep state. If they go against it, who knows? Will it be Puff Daddy?
Okay.
The Puff Daddy situation for any celebrity right now?
Okay. Well, just quickly, let's get to on Wednesday, the second part of voting in the Jammu and Kashmir legislative elections, assembly elections, which we touched upon last week. This is the second round. Complex area, as we briefly touched on last week, between India, Pakistan and China. I think India kind of governs a lot of it. Pakistan occupies a little bit of it, obviously been disputed since the partition of India in 1947. So it's quite a tricky place. I think there are 114 seats in this assembly. 90 of the members are for the Indian governed regions. 24 represent Pakistani occupied regions. I think it was reported voter turnout last week was 59%, which is the highest in the last seven elections, or pretty much since 1947. And the next phase is on the 1st of October. I don't know if you have any predictions for Jammu and Kashmir.
I think there are pro-Indian parties that are doing well, from what I read. But I mean, Pakistan, it's bankrolled by China. What is happening to Pakistan? Imran Khan, the most popular leader, is in jail after the US coup, according to Imran Khan, who, of course, we've spoken to since he went to jail. You know, that whole region, highly dangerous. The BRICS countries seem to be treating the new Pakistani regime as the proper one. These are nuclear weapon states. As for India, they're going to be courted at the UN General Assembly in New York on Wednesday, as they will be all week, trying to cleave India and China apart from each other. We know how Indian elites hate China. They have a colonial mentality, some say, don't realize that there's a new world to be built, which is why, of course, Modi was with Biden, not at the White House, but at his beach house on the beach. What was India doing there? Plotting against Russia and China? India will be the loser if it thinks it can pick the United States and try and be diplomatic with all sides, arguably, because India is in danger of losing the Chandrahar port deal with Iran, the superpower, one of the big energy superpowers of the world. Of course, there will be attacks on Iran maybe this week from Israel.
Obviously Biden and Modi meeting this week as well as we mentioned. Thursday, we better get to Thursday 26th of September.
Subscribe. This is the shortened version. We're trying to make it
snappier,
quicker, as regular viewers will know.
Yeah, keep your attention on it. You mentioned nuclear weapons. Going back to the UN General Assembly on Thursday, they're going to be talking about the total elimination of nuclear weapons, which is promoting International Day of the Total Elimination of Nuclear Weapons. That's why they're discussing it. But do we really think that's going to happen with perhaps 8 to 10 countries which have nuclear weapons? Not all of them admit to it, but we know it's around 8 to 10, or it does appear to at least have acted as a deterrent. Certainly, we think between a real all-out war between NATO and Russia, at least up until this point. We don't know what's going to happen in the coming weeks and months, but is it even worthy of discussion at this point? Do we really think all these countries are going to get rid of their nuclear weapons?
Clearly, the Biden-Harris administration has pushed the agenda forward to make countries all around the world realize they need nuclear weapons, thus making the world a dangerous place. September the 26th, Thursday, is also the anniversary of the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage. Mm-hmm. The CIA destroyed the multi-billion, $14 billion gas pipeline from Russia, supplying vital energy to Germany and to the European Union. That was the environmental crime of world history, largest single man-made methane emission climate-changing event in history. That Nord Stream pipeline catastrophe shows why there is no nuclear deterrent, because how were the CIA able to do this with no fear of Putin retribution, unless, of course, we can see on Thursday some kind of tactical nuclear strike by the Russians to reinforce the importance of nuclear deterrence. Because if no one explodes a nuclear weapon soon, it's clear there is no nuclear deterrence. Because as you said, they have not been frightened of Russia's nuclear weapons, the largest nuclear arsenal on Earth. The British are sending in storm shadows, apparently arguing for the use of tactical and strategic strikes deep into Russia. You know, I think critics of Vladimir Putin will be saying, you've allowed this to happen by not deploying a very limited tactical nuclear strike to stop this proxy war and the support for the dictator of Kiev, Zelensky, with his friends in the East with their patches. Lots of anniversaries all through this week of the Holocaust against Jews in Nazi Europe. And of course, we see that resurgent, those resurgent patches now in Kiev, in Zelensky's soldiers.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the Nord Stream anniversary, but as well on Thursday, chummy chums Biden and Zelensky are going to be meeting. I think this is going to be at the White House. It's going to be Kamala Harris as well, along with Trump, I think, as well. Zelensky is going to meet, and he plans to present them with this, what is it, this victory plan he's calling of how he's going to...
That's on the Thursday, the same day as the Security Council discussed torture.
Exactly.
That's literally as if to laugh at Western Europe, who are freezing to death. Hundreds of millions in poverty in Western Europe. There will be higher death tolls from the cold because of the lack of energy. The European economies are destroying themselves. The Russians will be there in New York. And as you say, maybe Trump, but definitely Biden-Harris meeting with Zelensky as if to laugh at BRICS and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. We can carry out terrorism, destroy pipelines and infrastructure, which may kill way more than any terrorist act in history because of the knock-on effects on inflation and the poor people who can't afford bread or have to choose between heating and eating.
Yeah, and what's ironic about this day very quickly, so Biden's meeting Zelensky, giving him his victory plan, although he did say that in November he wanted a peace summit with Russia, so it seems a bit counter to that. Obviously, that's on the Nord Stream anniversary, which I'm sure they're not going to be talking about, and both Ukraine and the US have both been accused of being responsible for the pipeline. Meanwhile, Putin is going to be speaking at the opening address of Russian Energy Week, which starts on Thursday, which he may well be mentioning
in Moscow.
His address in Moscow at the Central Exhibition Hall, exactly. Also worth mentioning, I think Danish and Swedish investigations in to the Nord Stream has been closed with no conclusion, so people can make of that what they will into what that means. But we better quickly get to Friday.
I should just say US GDP estimate figures quarter two, the United States economy doing well as it does when an incumbent tries to massage the figures, fake the inflation statistics. They'll be faking the GDP figures. They're all lies coming out of the Treasury. But it is true, the US economy has benefited from destroying competitor nations in Western Europe, a side effect of the proxy war of using those with the Wehrmacht emblems against Russia. So good on the US economy, not for the 40 million that need federal aid to eat, obviously.
Absolutely. Okay, then Friday, 27th of September.
Subscribe.
There you go.
Sorry, I'm just horrified by the Global Counterterrorism Forum on Friday, 27th of September at the UN General Assembly. I mean, how can Joseph Borrell be hosting a ministerial meeting on counter-terror when the European governments are backing the US proxy Israel and the US proxy Zelensky?
Yeah, so it was that's at the UN General Assembly.
On Friday.
On Friday. But also, we're going to be hearing on Friday who the new leader of Japan is. There's a leadership election. Fumio Kishida is stepping down. He's no longer going to be representing the Quad leaders, which we've spoken about in previous weeks.
Bill Burns is the leader of Japan, isn't he? Head of the CIA. It's occupied Japan, by the way. Japan is not a country with any sovereignty, Okinawa, the rape cases, U.S. soldiers raping Japanese women, still going on, increasing turbulence there under the U.S. occupation in Japan.
So you would say perhaps not that important then. I mean, it's noteworthy that Kishida has been in power for just 3 years, which seems like a short amount of time, but I think it is actually the longest reign in several years. I think most of the recent leaders have lasted about a year or two maximum, but obviously he's been embroiled in a lot of corruption scandals. A lot of people in Japan are struggling with the cost of living. So he's going to be replaced. I think there's nine potential candidates. I think the front runner is the son of the former Japanese prime minister, who's quite popular. But I guess what you're saying, perhaps it won't really make much difference who's in power in Japan if as you say, the US is pretty much in control of it. But on Friday as well, it's Native American Day or American Indian Day or Indigenous Peoples of America Day, celebrated always on the fourth Friday in September.
Well, commemorating the genocide.
This is it. It's meant to honor the Native Americans, of which I think there's currently around 5 million still living in the United States. Indigenous people who overall feel they've been treated very badly by the United States. There's been forced removal from tribal lands, alleged genocide, alleged human rights abuses. I don't know as well if you saw that Martin Scorsese film last year. Was it Killers of the Flower
Moon? Very long, wasn't it? It was very long,
but it did cover the Osage Nation, which was an indigenous peoples of Northern America for thousands of years.
You watched the whole thing. You watched the whole Leonardo DiCaprio film of that long a time.
I managed to get through it. It was a long night, but I got through. It was but a
clearly,
bit of a long-winded
clearly film. The rates of life expectancy, poverty right now of Native Americans locked in these reservations. Still an abomination. I noticed in Canada, rediscovering of massive graves of Native Indigenous people killed, presumably by the Catholic Church in Canada. I think Friday, September 27th is big because it's the new U.S. tariffs on Chinese electrical vehicles, which will reverberate for a long time, this story, because they've broken World Trade Organization rules, the Biden-Harris administration. And this is like a very Trumpian piece of legislation by Biden-Harris, but shades of what is to come if they Joe Biden and Kamala Harris don't murder and don't use agencies to murder their competitor, Donald Trump, whatever's going to happen, the U.S. is going to become protectionist now. Bad news for Western Europe. Amazing news for China and Russia and Brazil and India and the BRICS countries. And I don't know how many countries are joining BRICS now. Was it 23 by the end of next week? How many will have joined?
Yeah, we mentioned this last week, didn't we? The Chinese electrical vehicles and the tariffs, not very helpful for the EU's future of competitiveness. Clearly, counterintuitive, very odd indeed. We better quickly finish on the weekend.
Subscribe
Saturday, 28th of September. I assume, Afshin, you're going to be bidding in the auction of the unseen footage of JFK's assassination in Dallas in 1963. The grandson of the man who recorded this footage is selling this previously unseen footage at this auction. 2 p.m. Eastern time, it's going to finish. If you want to put in your bid,
it's a very serious thing, of course, because if Trump wins and is not killed like John F. Kennedy was, RFK Jr., who supports him, has been on stages with Trump saying they will finally release the papers. It was Mike Pompeo, the pro-genocide war criminal who ran the CIA, who famously, according to Trump, persuaded him against releasing the papers that show, presumably, we don't know, that the deep state, the state of the United States, murdered John F. Kennedy, murdered RFK Jr.'s dad, Robert Kennedy, because they wouldn't go along with the deep state plans. I suppose the corollary in our age would be if Joe Biden had said, no, I don't want to support the far right wing fascists of Zelensky in Ukraine, or I didn't want to support the terrorists of Israel. That's what would happen to them, too. That's how important the Zapruder footage of the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Yeah. Well, I do think previously Trump had said he would release all the documents and then later said he couldn't. The CIA already says they have released 99% of the documents in relation to it. I don't know who's going to snap up this footage first. Maybe it's the missing piece of the puzzle. Maybe the CIA is going to get in there first and ensure no one else can buy it. We don't know. But let us know if you manage to get your hands on it. Anyone watching, if you're the highest bidder, let us know. Send us in the footage if we don't get hold of it ourselves.
Freedom from Hunger Day, Friday.
Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. Saturday, Freedom from Hunger Day. Obviously, that's not the case for hundreds of millions of people on Saturday.
Are you going to be attending then this huge charity event in aid of poverty and the people going hungry? This is the Global Citizen Live charity concert in New York, because I know your favorite musicians are Post Malone, Doja Cat, Lisa, Rao Alejandro, and Jelly Roll.
Yeah, I did like Post Malone. And of course, Jelly Roll Morton has always been a fan, but Jelly Roll Morton died a long time ago. What's Post Malone said about Gaza genocide, I wonder? Nothing. I think you'll find that all these celebrities are hugely, and musicians, as we've talked about before on Forecast News, they can't really say anything about Gaza. I mean, Taylor Swift, what she said about Gaza, it's genocide. She said absolutely nothing, and she's the most famous pop star in the world. You see how Taylor Swift is someone who's completely controlled by the deep state. So don't believe the lyrics of the music of all these people, because they're all pretty much lies. Beyonce, oh, I've got a little handy list here. Okay. Usher, obviously, is pro-Israel. Post Malone, nothing about it. Alicia Keys, was she backing genocide? Jay-Z backing genocide? You just look at more.
I think there's going to be a long list of people who haven't mentioned it.
The annual charity concert in the Great Lawn of Central Park. I think there'll be Palestinian protests, because in the United States at large, the people of the American continent support the people of Palestine, support the people of Lebanon, and they'll be demonstrating against any of these cultural events that are basically run by record companies that they themselves are part of the deep state cultural environment.
Okay, let's very quickly finish on Sunday, the 29th of September.
Subscribe. You missed the Vivienne Westwood show in New York, is it? No, in Paris Fashion Week.
Paris.
Vivienne Westwood, of course, dead now, good friend of ours.
That's right. Paris Fashion Week starting earlier in the week. That's right. But
who would have no doubt talked about Palestine at Paris Fashion Week had she been alive? Not this time around.
That's true. But connecting with all of that on Sunday, it's another one of our favourite international days. This week it's Migrants and Refugees Global Day to celebrate migrants and refugees around the world. No, not to celebrate, surely, to bring awareness to them. I don't really know what really, but it's celebrated by the Roman Catholic Church. It's not a UN-administered day, as they often are. As we know, I think worldwide there's something like over 40 million refugees.
Most of them from NATO wars. And instead of having these days for migrants, obviously being increasingly migrants like birds, that refugees, increasingly, they are used as scapegoats in political machinations in NATO countries. NATO, of course, the direct cause for having all the refugees. Yeah. So they first become refugees because of NATO policy and Washington policy, and then they're blamed for being refugees by the countries that make them refugees. They're going to be a huge element of the election in the United States in November, and have been a huge element in elections all around the world, because the destruction continues from these top 10 arms companies in Britain, the United States, and the European Union.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask why you think there are so many refugees around the world, but there's your answer right there. Just very quickly, I know what you're all really waiting for.
Stock market crash anniversary 2008, so look out for the stock market crashes all this week. They usually happen around this month. Perhaps that's the following week.
Yeah, that's going to be a big anniversary for many who are still suffering the effects from it today, I'm sure. But I know what everyone's really waiting for is the Austria parliamentary election on Sunday. Austria, the home and birthplace of Adolf Hitler. The last election, I think, was...
You're going to demonetize us for mentioning that name. I've been so careful all through.
We're allowed. This is fact. Not that there's a connection now.
But anyway, after 1945, a lot of his generals, a lot of personnel ended up in the United States on many programs. The rocket program, of course, the head of NATO was a former officer of the German army that vegetarian artist went on to lead in the war.
That's true. NATO nations certainly made use of officers who were in the war who they thought could help them. Absolutely. But that's by the by. Austrian elections. Last election was in 2019. Sebastian Kurz won, but he resigned in 2021 over corruption, a corruption inquiry at the very least. Yet another one. We've had Karl Nehammer took over as chancellor. He's still in there. I think there's a current coalition government with the Green Party and the Austrian People's Party, which governs. The right-wing Freedom Party is looking to make gains, as it seems to have somewhat across Europe. Again, in Austria, many issues like the cost of living crisis.
The number of Austrians in absolute poverty has risen by more than 50%. So don't go to Austria, even though Vienna may be beautiful. I haven't actually been.
Yeah, no, I'd love to go. I would love to go to Vienna. But ironically,
they're supporting the genocide in Israel. They're supporting the Zelensky dictatorship in Kiev.
Yeah, famously militarily neutral, Austria, of course, but has, you know, it's delivering, it says, humanitarian aid to Ukraine, and it is just seem to be taking sides, particularly in its latter years. But ironic that it's on Migrants and Refugees Global Day. I think there's a big desire in Austria for stricter immigration rules. Certainly, that's what the public are being told. That's what they want, particularly as there was nearly an attack in Vienna a few weeks ago at that, I think, Taylor Swift concert. That's certainly going to be on the agenda. So perhaps going to be a significant event. But I think we should probably leave it there, shouldn't we? If there's nothing you have to add.
On Austria, actually, I should say that there have been some moves pro-Palestine belatedly.
Yeah,
I think we can say subscribe and realize that the tide seems to be turning on Palestine, as even European countries start to realize, hang on, how far can we go with the support for Holocaust Harris and terrible events in this region, which will no doubt only be exacerbated by a Donald Trump presidency, just as they will be by any victory for the incumbent. Not incumbent, is it? It's Holocaust Harris, who says she's a new and nothing to do with Joe Biden now. Anyway, subscribe.
Pre-prediction there. But yeah, we better leave it there. Thank you very much for watching. As Afshin said, please subscribe. Do leave a comment on the events we discuss, and we will see you next time. Bye for now.